Now, would you turn again this morning to the book of Leviticus, and we're going to read the first 9 verses of chapter 1. Leviticus chapter 1, and we'll read the first 9 verses. And can I just remind you that 2 weeks ago, this is the third week, we began this new series of sermons, and which I said we've simply entitled From Sinai to Jordan. That's that period of time after the children of Israel had arrived at the mountain of Sinai, following on from their deliverance from the land of Egypt. And then Leviticus and Numbers and Deuteronomy take us right through that time, the remainder of the time at Sinai, and then through the Israelites' wilderness wanderings until eventually they come to the borders, the River Jordan, and then over into the land of Canaan. So again for this morning, we're reading the first 9 verses, and as I said last time, that's to stand for the whole of this first chapter of Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 1. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and the priest Aaron's son shall bring the blood, and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall flay the burnt offering, and cut it into his pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar, and lay the wood in order upon the fire. And the priest Aaron's son shall lay the parts, the head, and the fat in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar, to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savour unto the Lord. Amen. And the Lord bless his word. Last week in our time together, we looked at the first few verses of this book of Leviticus, where the Lord begins to speak to Moses, his servant, with regards to the means that the children of Israel were to employ in order to find an acceptance before him, to be able to draw near to him with their worship and with their praise and with their service. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, and so on. And what follows on from that, for a good few verses, a good few chapters of the book of Leviticus, is this whole listing of procedures and practices that the children of Israel were to take up and follow in connection with being the people of God in those days and finding acceptance with the Lord their God. Now, it was that word acceptance that we concentrated on, especially last week. One of the most important words, in fact, of the Word of God to our hearts and our minds. How can a man or a woman or a young person ever find an acceptance before the God with whom we have to do? And the short answer to that, of course, is this: only and solely through the way that he prescribes and in the way that he provides. That fact commences in the book of Genesis, you remember, when that young man Abel came to God in the prescribed way and found acceptance before the Lord his God, while his brother Cain did not. And it comes to its completeness in our Lord Jesus Christ in his ministry when he stands before the people of his day. And he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But of course, between Abel and the coming of Christ, there are many, many places where this same vital truth and fact of the Word of God comes before us. And the book of Leviticus, most assuredly, my friends, is one of those places. You remember as you read all of the minuteness and all of this detail and all of this precision, as the Lord tells the children of Israel what they are to do, the sacrifices they are to make, how they are to make those sacrifices, and so on. We are being pressed up to one vital truth, namely, that we can only approach God and find acceptance with God and worship God and serve God only in the way that He says, in the way that He prescribes, and in the way that He provides. It will not be in man's way at all. Not at all. And as you read all of the tiny details about these sacrifices and how they were to be treated and how they were to be slain and so on, that's the stamp on our hearts and our souls, the one supreme lesson that God gives us acceptance in the way that He pronounces. That great misapprehension, as we said, of the human heart, that we can find an acceptance before God through what we present to God or what we offer to God by way of worship or sacrifice or service. Not at all. Not at all. Nowhere in the Word of God is that made more plain than in Christ. But of course, it all is pointing up to Christ right from Abel and right through all of the Word of the living God. We find acceptance with God in the way that He grants to us. That way comes to its fullness in Christ, of course, and it is Christ who is set before us, foreshadowed for us in the book of Leviticus. You remember the Lord's words again? Moses wrote of me. Moses wrote of me, and indeed he did. In Genesis, in Exodus, in Leviticus, in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, those books that were given to Moses to write under the hand of the Holy Spirit of God upon him, then the Lord is set forth, Christ is set forth, and nowhere more so than it when it comes to the lesson of how we find acceptance with God forever and forever. So it was this business of acceptance, the very word acceptance that we looked at last time, how the children of Israel were given that, a lesson for us that was to come to its fullness in Jesus Christ the Lord. Now, there were two other words that we mentioned last time, which belong to the whole business of our acceptance before the Lord. And it's those two words that we're going to look at this morning. They are appropriation and availability. Dealing with a chapter like that, it seems best perhaps just to put those key words into our hearts and our minds. Acceptance is a key word. And now in relation to that acceptance, two other key words, appropriation and availability. You see, as God pronounces all of this way of acceptance that He's granting to the people of those days, how did the people appropriate all of that? How did they make it their own? How did they lay hold upon it and enter into the blessings and the benefits that were stored up in those provisions at that point? And it's that then that we're told about, in fact, in those opening verses of the book once more. And you see this appropriation then of what God has provided in three ways. You see it under the heading of approach and attitude and action. So as God had granted a way of acceptance, then they were to appropriate, they were to lay hold on that way of acceptance, and they did it through approach and attitude and action. So have a look at the verses just again. And the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation, saying, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And then in verse 5, and he shall kill the bullock before the Lord, and so on. But you see, my friends, the one who will come to God to find acceptance with God must approach God, and he must approach God with something and at some particular place. What he is to approach God with, of course, is an offering, but an offering such as the Lord himself prescribes, and something that characterizes that offering. It may be an offering off the herds of the field, a bullock or a heifer or whatever. It may be an offering from the flocks, from the sheep or from the goats. It may be an offering of the fowls of the air. There was that variation with regards to the offering. But there was one thing that absolutely characterized the offering, whichever it was that God commanded them to bring, and that offering was to be a male, says the Lord, without spot or without blemish. And you see that in verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. And then down in verse 10, and if his offering be of the flocks, namely of the sheep or of the goats for a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring it a male without blemish. And then down in verse 14, and if the burnt sacrifice for his offering to the Lord be of fowls, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or of young pigeons, that is, without blemish, without spot or blemish. So as you see, whereas the Lord says, you can bring any of these kinds of offerings, and we'll see what's involved in that later on. The one thing that had to characterize each or any of the offerings that was brought, it was to be a male off the flock or off the herd, whatever the case might be, but it had to be without spot and without blemish. And insofar as anything in this fallen creation could be without blemish, they were to get something that was without blemish to that degree, and they were to offer it unto the Lord. Now that's Christ, of course. And my friends, if anyone doesn't see Christ there, surely they are flying in the face of all the scriptures of God, Old Testament and New Testament scriptures as well. You see, in that sense, it was no new thing that the Lord was setting before the children of Israel, in that which was to characterize the offerings that they were to bring before the Lord, to find acceptance before the Lord. When the Lord had first sent Moses into the land of Egypt to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, he told Moses to tell the people what they were to do. They were to offer a lamb, but they were to offer a lamb without spot and without blemish. And they took the blood of the lamb and they sprinkled it on the doorposts and the lintels, as you know, so that God passed through the land in judgment. But when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the home of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and ye shall take it from among the sheep or from among the goats. A lamb without blemish, you see. That's Christ. And if anyone should have any doubts whether or not it is Christ that is foreshadowed in what the offerer in Israel was to approach God with, then all they need to do is read Peter. And Peter, by the Holy Spirit of God, will tell us right from the outset all that is involved in this lamb or this offering without spot or without blemish. When he takes up the whole picture of our deliverance out of our sin and into heaven, into our inheritance at last. And he tells us to gird up the loins of our minds to make that journey. And then he says, for as much as ye know that ye are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And my friend, when you read that requirement set down before the children of Israel, that is a requirement that comes to its fullness in Christ, so that no one will ever find an acceptance before God apart from Christ, and approaching God with Christ as the offering which God prescribes in order to grant us that acceptance before him. It is only through Christ and through Christ alone that we may approach God and find an acceptance with God forevermore. As we'll see later on in the chapter, of course, that offering without blemish, something had to happen to it. It had to be put to death, and he shall put the offering to death. We'll come to all that next time, no doubt. But for now, you see, it is Christ in all the scriptures, don't you see? Moses wrote of me. And when Moses, under the hand of the Holy Spirit, set those requirements before the children of Israel, it was Christ that he was setting before the children of Israel. Well, you say, what's all that got to do with me? I trust got everything to do with you. But one thing is this, my friend. It's to give us an assurance to our hearts and our souls that God had planned and purposed our redemption from before the foundation of the world. You remember when you read that terminology of the Lord's apostle, where he speaks about these old things being a shadow of the good things that were to come in the days of the gospel. They were a shadow in this way, that when Christ came into the world, he displayed what the shadows really meant. But they were a shadow also in this sense, that they were to show what God had decreed long before the world ever was. There can't be a shadow until there is a substance. There can't be a shadow until there is a body. And all of these sacrifices and the tabernacle and all of those regulations, indeed they are a shadow, and we see what they were a shadow of when Christ comes. But what they were a shadow of was the eternal verities of God, that he would provide salvation for a people who would be redeemed unto him by the Lamb that was slain from before the foundation of the world. You see, don't start in the middle of anything. Start right at the beginning. And way, my friend, before there was any world or anything else, in the plan and purpose and decree of Almighty God, Christ would come. And through Christ we would approach God, find acceptance with God as a lamb without blemish and without spot. And that's what we're to do. We're to see the strengthening of our soul and the assurance of our salvation. God wasn't overtaken. There's a terrible theology that crept into the church a while back, that Christ came to offer some kind of an earthly kingdom to the Jews. And they rejected him, so God had to bring in a contingency plan and put Christ to the cross to save this strange people called the church. It's almost heresy. From before the foundation of the world, my friends, he was the Lamb slain, and the Lamb slain without spot or blemish, who would deliver us from the wrath to come. And you see, it's too everlasting indeed, this salvation, but it's from everlasting. That's the point. And these are the shadows of the good things that were to come, but they were the shadows of the reality which was already in eternity in the mind and purpose of Almighty God. You see that word again, Moses wrote of me. But as Christ preached and told those scribes and Pharisees that, they didn't see that, or they wouldn't see it perhaps. And that hasn't changed. Paul writes to the Corinthians and he's writing about some of the Jews of those days, or the Jews in general, or people, men and women in general. And he says, even on to this day, when Moses is read, there is a veil upon their hearts. Remember, when Moses came down from the mountain, there was a veil put over his face because the people couldn't bear to look on the reflected glory of God in the face of Moses. But he says, when they read Moses, he says, they've got a veil in their hearts so that they cannot see the glory that excels. And the glory that excels is Christ, whom Moses wrote about. If you want a contrast to that kind of behavior, you remember the old Ethiopian eunuch? Remember how that man was honestly, sincerely trying to discern who it was that Isaiah was writing about in those words of Isaiah chapter 53, about a sheep being brought to the slaughter, and as a lamb before her shearers is dumb. Now, whatever else that Ethiopian knew or didn't know, one thing he did know, he knew that this wasn't an animal that Isaiah was writing about, you see. Because he says to Philip, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? He knew that this was a shadow, a picture, you see. That this lamb brought to the slaughter, sheep brought to the slaughter, and so on. No, he says he's speaking about someone, not about something, of whom speaketh the prophetess. And so Philip begins at the same passage, Isaiah 53, and he preached unto him Jesus. Jesus is the lamb that is brought to the slaughter. Jesus is the Lamb of Leviticus, and all the lambs and all the offerings that must bear this one characteristic mark, insofar as they can bear it, it shall be without spot and without blemish. And the offering, you see, that God prescribes that the people were to make their approach to him with was just that. When Christ comes, of course, then all that ever was in picture or type, all of that is complete in Christ himself. When Christ comes, even his enemies, you remember, they had to seek out false witnesses to witness against him. You remember Pilate. Pilate tried him, examined him, just as they did with the Passover lamb all of those days, to see if there was any blemish or any spot. And Pilate has to eventually say, I find no fault in him whatsoever. Even Pilate's wife says, have nothing to do with that just person, for I have suffered many things this night in a dream because of him. You remember the centurion at the cross, surely this was a righteous man. You see, Christ is without spot or without blemish. You're not bought with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb, without blemish and without spot. And if you need an addition to that, the same Peter says that this one did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Or when Paul writes about Christ, not simply as the offering, the sacrifice, but as the high priest who would offer the sacrifice, he says, for such a high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. My friend, there is no way to God, and no way to approach God, and no way to find acceptance before God, but by what he sets down. And he sets down that we come to God with an offering indeed, with that which he has provided, and that offering is Christ and nothing other than Christ. And if you've come to God with Christ, And of course, we come to God with Christ just at the beginning, I'm sure, for many of us, just with naked faith. But don't stop there. Whatever you do, don't stop there. And go into all that was involved in your coming to Christ, even though it was all maybe a bit vague, but then see the Christ that you came to God with is a Christ ordained from before the foundation of the world to give us our acceptance with God forever and forevermore. So if any man bring an offering, let him offer a meal without blemish. That's what was spelt out for the nation of Israel in those days, and it is Christ that was shadowed forth and pictured forth in those stipulations. And then there was this as well. Not only must the offerer approach God with a certain thing, but at a certain place. And it's that we're told about in the second part of that verse 3. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a meal without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall offer it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. Now, just a wee reminder. You remember what the tabernacle was, that great big tent dwelling that God told the children of Israel to make. And that tent, of course, stood in the midst of a courtyard. It wasn't just sitting in the desert. It stood in a courtyard. And the way that the courtyard was fenced off from the wilderness round about was with a wall, but it was a linen wall. It was great big stretches of linen that were laid out on poles right round to form the courtyard at which the tabernacle, the tent, sat. And of course, that's what the psalmist is speaking about, as the worshipper would come. And he would come to worship God in the courtyard there where the tent stood. Blessed is the man whom thou dost choose, who makes approach to thee, that he within thy courts, O Lord, may still a dweller be. That was the arrangement. And again, you see, it's Christ, my friend, from the beginning right to the end. You see, in all of that linen wall that surrounded the courtyard, and it was a massive area, there was only one door. Only one door. It wasn't a whole lot of doors. There was only one door. And that's why it says that the offerer shall offer his offering at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Not at one of the doors, because there was only one door. There was only one way of entrance, one way of access by which the offerer could come with what God prescribes to enter into his presence. And into that fact, you see, again, you pour something of the fullness of those words of the Saviour, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. You see, one way of acceptance, one way of approach, one way to enter. And it is through Christ and by Christ and with Christ forevermore. That's why the Bible says there is no other salvation but in Christ. None whatsoever. No other name under heaven given amongst men whereby we must be saved. As we heard on Wednesday night, you remember, that whole thing now that's taking over on the mission field, at home and everywhere else, many, many ways to God. Not in this Bible. Not in this Bible. The way that God has provided is through Christ and through Christ alone. And then there's this also, you see. What stood right at the entrance of that one door at which the offerer was to make his approach with the offering that God said was what was called the brazen altar, or the altar of burnt sacrifice, on which the sacrifice was to be slain and put to death. And as I've said already, we'll come to that next time, but already have it in your hearts and your minds, my friend, that this is the one who is to be brought as a lamb to the slaughter, to give us our approach to God and our acceptance with God. How pressed up are you to your salvation being only and solely in Christ from beginning to end and every bit in between? There is no salvation. It is only in Christ and in Christ alone. And as I said, then it comes to the killing of the sacrifice and so on. But all of this picture in our hearts and our souls, God's gracious to us. He gives us these visual aids and words, if you like, that old offerer may find acceptance with God. And he makes his approach to God. God has said, bring an offering. The offering will be without spot, without blemish. Bring it to the door of the tabernacle. And then when he does that, then he will enter into the courts of the Lord and he will find acceptance before the Lord. So as far as the approach goes, my friends, that is how it was to be done, what he was to bring, where he was to bring it to, and all of that is Christ, and is Christ indeed. The other two words that we mentioned under the terms of appropriating this provision, laying hold on what God had granted to those people, the two words were attitude and action. And maybe we can take the two words together, because they belong pretty much together. You see, as far as attitude is concerned, that's attitude of heart and mind, then you get that, first of all, in those words of that verse 3 of the chapter once again. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. That is, he shall offer it gladly, and he shall offer it unreservedly. That's what it means when he says he shall offer it of his own voluntary will. You get the same kind of language when God tells him to make the tabernacle in the first place. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart. Ye shall take my offering. You see, they were to bring it with their heart and with their soul. They were to bring it gladly, my friends, unreservedly before the Lord. And just as they were to do it in the building of the tabernacle, now this particular man, if you like, when he brings his offering, which God prescribed, to the place that God prescribed, that wasn't all. But he was to have an attitude in his heart and his mind that what he was doing, he was doing with gladness and with joy in his soul. And there was a good reason for that, of course, because he, if he was a true worshipper, he would be persuaded in his heart and in his soul that in this way God was going to do something for him. He was going to grant him an atonement. You see, that's what it says. If his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. This particular man, there were true worshippers, of course, and this particular true worshipper, if you like, you see, my friends, he had become convinced of something. He was conscious of something. He's conscious of his sin, conscious of his exclusion from God, conscious of the presence or the absence of the presence of God in his life. And once he has grasped that God has provided a way for him to come before his God and find an atonement from his God, of course he grasps it with his heart and with his soul. That's why the gospel is calculated for sinners, We're sinners. People who feel their sin, conscious of their sin. We know our sin. Doesn't matter the degree, that's another thing, my friend. But no one ever approached God through Christ gladly, unreservedly, if they didn't have some conception of their sin before the Lord. It's simply the gospel. Without going into all of the details of what actually took place with those sacrifices, as I say, the true Israelite, following God in obedient faith, would know that to his heart and his soul. We look back to the cross by faith. They look forward to the cross by faith. Those who did it in that way, and those who look back, and those who look forward, my friends, if we are doing what God has said we should do, then of course we have the acceptance with the Lord. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. By faith. God said to him, Abel, this is what you're to do. And he did it and was accepted. God said to the Israelites, this is what you're to do. And when they did it, they were accepted. And any who felt their exclusion and their non-acceptance, surely, when they heard that there was a way of acceptance, then they would offer what they offered gladly, gladly before the Lord. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. Remember on the day of Pentecost, when Peter and the others preached, and they were pricked in their hearts, those people became conscious of their sin, and they cried out and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they tell them God's provision in Christ. And it says then, they gladly received the word. The gospel's good news. Good news for sinners. And this was good news, you see, for the Israelites of those days, that God had provided a way for them to come before him, a holy and a righteous God. You see, if people don't have any grasp of God and his holiness and righteousness, the fact of coming to him and being able to come to him is very little matter, very trifling thing. Well, it's a great thing. And the only way that we can be brought to God is by the bloodletting of Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't tell us about the righteousness, the holiness of God, and the gladness by which we should receive the provision, nothing will. Nothing will. And very simple, my friends, simply as I say, it was that business of attitude, you see. As the offerer came, approached God in the way that God said, still there was that attitude of heart and mind that was requisite for him as he did what God told him to do. That's not all, of course. And that attitude, you see, then must pass into action. And it's in the action that God prescribes for all of the acceptance of that day in that, again, straightforward, glorious picture of the gospel in Christ the Saviour. So the verse 3, if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. And literally that reads, he shall press down on, he shall lean upon the head of the offering. And what's being signified, I'm sure you realize, is the transference, you see, of the offerer's sin onto the offering's head. And when that takes place and the offering is slain, then the offerer is accepted on the behalf, or the offering is accepted on the behalf of the offerer, and the offerer is accepted on account of the offering. That's what takes place. 'Tis done, the great transaction's done. I am my Lord's and he is mine. You see, he made him to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And it's that transference, it's substitution, it's all of those great, basic, straightforward words of the gospel. One of the messianic psalms, Psalm 88, literally reads like this as our Lord speaks to his God and Father in heaven. He says, "Thy wrath leaneth heavily upon me." You see, it's because God, my friends, in his mercy to you and I, leaned his wrath on Christ that we lean our forgiveness and our acceptance on Christ and on Christ alone. The sinner comes, and indeed we lean heavily on the Savior. And that old worshipper, if you read it aright, if he was a true worshipper, he didn't simply touch the head of the sacrifice. That's not what's signified. He did lean, pressed his weight on the sacrifice. That's got something to do with attitude. "This is how it is," says the Lord. And that man, why, he presses down on that which God provided. And you see, surely it's true to say this. The more conscious we are of our sin and our absence from God and our exclusion from God, the more heavily we lean on Christ. And I'm sure we're not quite among the ancients yet, my friends, but I'm sure as you go on in the Christian life, that becomes more and more a fact of experience in the Christian life. You start off indeed by saying it is only Christ, and by the time you go on, you are persuaded absolutely and completely and totally in your soul that it is only Christ. 'Tis Jesus, the first and the last, who shall guide our spirits safe home. And so this man, you see, comes to be accepted in this offering as he leans upon the offering. And all of it, my sin, all of it is laid on the head of the offering. Can I just say this? That man could have done everything up to that point. He could have believed what God said. He could have believed that it had to be an offering on his behalf, a meal without blemish. He could have believed that he had to bring it to the door of the tabernacle. But until he leaned his hand upon it, he was never accepted. And you can know all the way of salvation from beginning to end, but until you lean on Christ, my friend, you have no guarantee of your acceptance before the God with whom you have to do. There is the approach. God says this is how you make the approach. There is the attitude of heart and mind, and that attitude of heart and mind is shown to be valid in the action that is followed as we lean all upon Christ the Savior. So God provides the way. When the man did that, of course, in gospel terms, as the old hymn says, the vilest offender who truly believes, that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. So God provides the way, and by his grace, his enabling grace, may we all know that we have taken the way that he has provided. Now, just a few words to conclude for this morning. Now, to draw in just a little of that other word, availability. You remember the three key words we said: acceptance, appropriation, availability. And in this, there's a great gospel word. You see, it's been well pointed out that everything that God prescribes here for the burnt offering was readily available. In other words, God didn't send the children of Israel away up into the mountains to find some exotic beast or other. No, no, he simply said, they are right at your hand. And as you read through that in verse 3, it is an offering that they can take from the herd. In verse 10, it is an offering that they can take from the flocks of the sheep or the goat. In verse 10, it is something of the fowls of the air, something out of their hen house or something out of their dove cote. But you see, it was something that was right at hand, ready at their hand. It was an offering that God had made available. And that's the gospel. You know, when Paul, writing to the Romans, speaks about what the old way that people were trying to turn to the way of the law, what it said, well, it said all kinds of exotic things. And Paul says, don't say who shall ascend into heaven. That's to bring Christ down and so on. He says, no, he says, what does the gospel say? What does the word of the gospel say? Does it say all of these complicated, exotic things? No, it doesn't say that at all. It says the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, which is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You see? There are lots of mysteries in the gospel, my friends. There's depth and majesty in the gospel, which we'll never know, perhaps this side of eternity. But for all of that, there is that simple availability of the terms of the gospel, which is believe, and you shall be saved. And when God makes this way of approach and acceptance before him, he provides that which is readily available for those people. You remember the case of Cain and Abel again? You remember when Cain and his offering weren't accepted, it says that Cain was wroth. He was angry. Imagine God rejecting him. And the Lord spoke to him. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? And why is thy countenance fallen? Now listen, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. That's a mysterious kind of verse, but in its simplest reading, he says, look, you wouldn't have far to go to find a lamb of the flock. The thing which Abel brought and offered to me and found acceptance, it's right on your doorstep, Cain. Why are you wroth? Why are you angry with God? When God says, the offering that he requires in your bringing Christ is right at your hand in the gospel that he procured through Christ. And it's all that a picture, you see, of the availability of the gospel. You don't need to go way up into the mountains and the caves and wrestle among the rocks. No, no. Bring it of the herd, bring it of the flock, bring it of the dovecote, you see. Doesn't matter. But bring what I say in obedient faith, and you shall be accepted. The means of acceptance was available, and it was availing. And what I mean by that is this. And this is where we go back to the variation in the sacrifices. They differed. A bullock from the herd was more expensive than a sheep from the flock. And a sheep from the flock was more expensive than a turtle dove or a young pigeon. But none was more availing than the other. That's the point, you see, my friend. The offerer who brought his turtle dove was as readily accepted as the offerer who brought the heifer from his herd. He provided. God provided the means and said in obedient faith, take the means and you shall be accepted. The variations in the offerings have nothing to do with acceptance. They have to do with ability. Some were able to bring a bullock. Some were only able to bring a turtle dove. But if they brought what God said they were to bring, it is obedience and faith, you see, that makes the sacrifice available. Does that mean then that we're not to give all that we can when it comes to the things of Christ? Of course, it means no such thing, my friends. But you see, that belongs to another category of the application of God's truth to our souls. We keep mixing up categories. This has got nothing to do, my friends, with dedication, if you like. This has got to do with the gospel. And the gospel says there is one way of acceptance, and that's the way that God says. And as that person, according to their ability, obeyed God and brought the offering prescribed, then they were accepted before the Lord. You see, into that then you pour all of those great words of all the whosoevers of the Bible. You know, whosoever will, let him drink of the water of life freely. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's the point, my friends, that God in his grace makes his gospel available, and the gospel avails to whosoever. I heard a lovely story just this week, and with this I finish. It's concerning that last text that I mentioned, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And it concerns a wee girl who went along to church one morning. Her mother wasn't with her. And so when the wee girl came home from church, the mother asked her what the man had preached on. The wee girl's name was Edith. And she said, the minister was preaching about me. The mother said, about you? She said, yes, he preached on that text, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Indeed, Edith and Tommy and Jimmy and John and Joan and Margaret, this man receiveth sinners. That's the point, my friend. And by the grace of God in our day, hard days, but may the Lord never move us from the gospel and never enter into our souls the thought that we have to move the gospel. The gospel is this man receiveth sinners, and he forgives them, and we are accepted through him, but only through him. One sacrifice for sins forever, the way appointed, the way that we appropriate by faith as we come to God through Christ, his Son. May it be so.